Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 41 of Dogcast Radio. In this episode, we have an interview with a rising dog star.
What's she been in? What hasn't she been in? She was in a film, a Ewan McGregor movie, which in fact she got because my boyfriend Aaron is an actor and he was supposed to have a part in it. And then they said, would you bring your dog? And then he got cut out and the dog stayed in.
In the Dogcast Radio news, there's outrage in the dog world.
I expect you're familiar with that well-established saying that a dog is for life, not just for Christmas.
Indeed I am.
Well, there's a company in America, Flex Pets, which disagrees. They offer to provide a dog on an occasional basis.
Plus, we have puppy playtime and five-minute fiction inspired by our dog, Tom. But before all that, we have a great interview about Camp Gone to the Dogs. This is a wonderful vacation opportunity in the States. If you're looking for fun experiences to share with your dog, look no further. And their attitude to life with a dog is just right.
I had a look at the brochure you sent me, and it looks really great. And one of the things I noticed was that the camp motto, which I think is brilliant, and if your dog's tail isn't up, we're doing something wrong. Fun is the name of the game. And that sounds great.
Yeah, we're all about a positive experience for you and your dog. If your dog's not having fun, we don't want you to do that activity with him or her. It's all about your dog having a great time with you.
And discovering new skills. But again, that was with the emphasis on fun, wasn't it?
Absolutely. We have a broad range of activities, and we're unique with our camp. We let any breed of dog try any activity. For example, last year we had a Papillon that was great at sheep herding.
Good grief.
Yeah, see, a lot of other places, they only allow the herding dogs to herd. At our camp, any breed can try any activity, no matter what it is. We have poodles that like to herd. It's very interesting. You never know what your dog is really going to like till you let them try it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, at your summer camp, there's over 50 activities every day, aren't there?
Absolutely. We start at 7 in the morning, and that's voluntarily if you want to get up that early. And we go to, and after dinner, we have several activities. We have lectures, lore coursing, and we actually have our Camp Gone to the Dogs drill team. So we do that every night also. But there's a wide range of activities. You can do as much as you want or as little as you want. If you just want to sit around petting your dog and enjoying the beautiful Vermont countryside, you can do that.
Yeah. The other thing, at that summer camp, you've got a pond on site for dogs that like swimming, haven't you?
Yes, we do. We actually, last year I purchased a dock, so now the dogs actually can do dock diving right on campus.
Oh, right. Dock diving.
Yeah. It's really a fun activity. And you'd be surprised. The dog that you didn't think would love it is the dog that loves it the most. We had a greyhound who thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
What does that actually involve? I mean, are they jumping in after something, or what are they doing?
Well, the first few times, a lot of them, you need to throw a toy, and they go running down the dock and jump off the dock to chase the toy. But once they get that thrill of jumping off and landing in the water, they're just waiting in line to run again. They don't even care about the toy.
Oh, that sounds great, fun. That's great. The other thing that I noticed that I thought, oh, that sounds really fun as well, is skateboarding 101.
Yes. We actually have dogs who have learned to skateboard. And it's adorable. It's the cutest thing you can ever see in your life. We have this one Jack Russell that just goes pedaling along.
Oh, that's great. And your fall camps as well. Again, you've got 25 to 30 activities a day, you know.
Yes. They're a little bit slower paced than the June camp is what we call big camp. And it has every activity possible. The June camp is the fall camps are smaller camps with a little bit less activities. We start a little later in the morning, and it's a little more relaxing. Stowe is just a beautiful place, and people like to take in the scenery and just kind of take hikes and things like that with the dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Now, again, one of the activities there that I thought, that sounds great, but I'm not quite sure how that actually works, is the gondola rides.
Oh, the gondola rides is a big ski mountain right in Stowe. And you can take the dogs go for free. The people have to pay, and you take this gondola all the way up the mountain, and you have the most gorgeous view of Vermont at the top.
Oh, wow.
It's just beautiful.
I mean, again, that was another part of the activity, isn't it? Part of the holiday. It says the beautiful scenery that you're in. It sounds gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. When we're in Stowe in September, is when all the wildflowers are blooming, and the village is just beautiful. There's flowers, this gorgeous blue sky, and these beautiful green mountains all around you. It's really pretty.
Yeah, yeah. And again, in the brochure, which I thought was a very good recommendation for the camp, someone had compared coming to camp gone to the dogs with going to Disney World, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Terry Gassner, she and her dog Parker absolutely love camp. Mm. We have a really high return rate for camp. For example, for our June camp last year, it was a 70% return rate.
Good grief.
Our campers really love it. The fall camps are close to 80% return.
Wow. Because, I mean, this is really a brilliant opportunity. If you're a dog lover and you want to take your dog on holiday with you, here, not only does your dog actually get to be with you all day, but also the dog gets to sleep with you, don't they?
Absolutely. The dog stays in the room with you. The only place the dogs aren't allowed, and it's because of Vermont state law, is in the dining room. But what we have done is at the September camps, we have a big deck off the dining room with all tables and chairs. So if you want to eat outside with your dog, that's a possibility. You can do that. And at the June camp, we have picnic tables outside the dining hall. Mm. So if you really want to be with your dog 24/7, you can.
Yeah, yeah. Which I suppose a lot of people do, don't they?
Oh, they do. They absolutely do. You know, it's just so nice, especially at the June camp. We don't have television or radio or newspapers. So all you're doing is just spending this quality time with your dog. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. And, I mean, you've touched on it, but basically there is something at your camps for every owner and every dog, isn't there?
Yeah, we really have all levels of classes. For example, our agility classes, we have from introductory all the way through advanced. We have our obedience is all different levels. Our jump shoot, we have the smaller jumps than the larger jumps. Frisbee, we have all different levels of classes. So we make sure every dog has something, there's something for every dog to do. The dogs are pretty tired by the end of the week, I can tell you that.
I bet, because I mean, and we've sort of done a little bit of agility with our dogs, and just that, getting them to use their brain and think what it is you want them to do, they're just shattered afterwards. They come in and sleep.
Oh, they're exhausted. My two dogs absolutely love agility, and by the end of the day, my dogs also love lure coursing, so between agility and lure coursing in September, they're pretty tired from chasing around and running at full speed.
Yeah, yeah. And did you actually start the camps?
No, Honey Loring started the camp 18 years ago. This is our 18th year.
Hmm.
And I started going about 12 years ago and just fell in love with it. I wasn't there an hour the first day and was asking, how do I sign up again for next year?
Oh.
I just felt like I found my, you know, you find your stick in life and you fetch it. It was just wonderful. So I landed up coming to camp for a number of years, and then I started working for Honey, doing various jobs around the camp. And about 4 or 5 years ago, she had talked about she was ready to retire and asked if I would be interested in purchasing the camp. And I was like floating. I was so excited. So I've already run 6 camps for the past 2 years. This is my 3rd year of running camps, so I'll have 3 more this year.
Mm.
And this June will be our 44th camp.
Oh, wow, wow.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's really exciting because, you know, if you've got a dog that you've done agility with or, you know, that has a level, you know, a high level of training, you can come and have fun. But, you know, if you're sitting at home thinking, well, you know, my dog doesn't really do very much, I haven't got a high level of training, then you can come to your camps and try a huge variety of things and find what your dog's thing is, can't you?
Absolutely. there are just so many activities, and you let your dog try everything, and when you find what your dog likes, then you continue going to those classes. Mm. And it's really exciting to see the light bulb click in your dog's head when it loves something. Because when my older dog, he's been to a lot of camps now, he's going to be 7, when I first brought him 6 years ago to the June camp, he's a Polish lowland sheepdog, and he had never seen sheep before. Mm. So I brought him in the sheep pen, and we had him sit, and the sheep were there, and all of a sudden, his eyes, like, glazed like diamonds. They were sparkling all over, and he was gone. Mm. He found what he wanted to do. He loved those sheep.
Yeah. And presumably, with all the activities, you know, there's a trainer there that's going to guide you and your dog through it.
Oh, absolutely. There's trainers for every activity. I really have an incredible staff. They're just wonderful. They only teach positively. There's nothing negative. They work as hard as they can to make your dog enjoy what they're trying to teach them. Mm. They're really good, but every activity does have its own trainers. I have 6 people who teach agility. I have several people down at sheep herding. There's a few frisbee trainers, fly ball trainers, 4 or 5 obedience trainers. Mm. So I have quite a large staff that's very experienced.
Yeah. So basically, if you're looking for a great vacation experience that with your dog, Camp Gone to the Dogs
is
for you.
To come.
Yes.
We welcome you. Actually, we even have an instructor who comes to our fall camp for 2 weeks from Australia.
Oh, wow, excellent.
Yeah, one of my instructors is from Australia.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have kind of a diverse population. For example, like our June camp, we had representation from 24 different states in the United States, mm-hmm. plus we also have people from Canada.
Yeah.
And this year's June camp, we're having our first camper from the Yukon.
Oh, wow.
So she's really coming far.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Well, I hope you have a lot of fun.
I hope so too.
If you would like to discover some fun new activities and extend your dog's skills, check out the Camp Gone to the Dogs website. If you do attend, don't forget to let us know how you get on.
Famous dogs. Laika, a 3-year-old crossbreed, achieved fame by being the first dog in space aboard Sputnik 2 in November 1957.
You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dogcast Radio News Desk. I'm Nick.
And I'm Kate. I expect you're familiar with that well-established saying that a dog is for life, not just for Christmas.
Indeed I am.
Well, there's a company in America, Flex Pets, which disagrees. They offer to provide a dog on an occasional basis. In effect, this is a rent-a-dog scheme. Members join the scheme and have training in dog handling, then get to spend time with the dog of their choice, at the time of their choice. All the dogs involved have been rescued or rehomed, and owner Marlena Cervantes claims, "Our membership is strictly limited, and members develop their own favourites, so each dog generally spends time with the same small group of dog lovers who have real quality time to reciprocate a dog's affection. It's almost like a blended family structure where the children get twice the love and twice the Christmas and birthday presents."
While there are many arguments for humans benefiting from the companionship of a dog, the debate continues as to whether the disadvantages outweigh the benefits for the dogs involved. Does this scheme promote a responsible approach or merely encourage the attitude that dogs are a commodity to buy and dispose of as the mood takes?
Apparently, schemes of this type are popular in Japan, and Flex Pets is already established in Los Angeles and San Diego. New US locations in New York City, San Francisco and Boston will open shortly, followed by several others. Planned international locations include London, Glasgow, Paris, Cannes, Sydney and Tokyo.
Here at Dogcast, we know that a dog is not a fashion accessory. And we also know that there are many thousands of dogs in shelters around the world who are desperate for a little love and companionship. And you don't have to hire them. And from one story that's causing outrage to another, in Europe, there are plans to bring in laws that have the potential to put some dog breeders on the wrong side of the law. The European Convention on the Protection of Pet Animals asserts that animal breeders are responsible for anatomical, physiological and behavioural characteristics which are likely to put at risk the health and welfare of either the offspring or the female parent. There are also very specific limits set out for physical characteristics of a dog, and many dog breeders believe that if the convention is accepted, it will mean the end for some breeds. Around 30 to 40 breeds would be affected by this new legislation, including the Dachshund and the Bulldog. And while breeders fear the worst, animal charities are supporting the convention, pointing out it will merely mean that health must be put before appearance.
Do you remember Snuppy? Snuppy's birth caused its fair share of outrage, as he was the world's first cloned dog. There are now 4 cloned dogs, all Afghan hounds, and it was recently announced that Snuppy and the world's second cloned dog, Boner, will be mated as soon as Boner is old enough.
I wonder if either Snuppy or Boner will feel the stress of having so much expectation riding on the outcome of their mating. Well, a Japanese company, Medical Life Care Gikken, is bringing a product to the market that will enable you to assess if your dog is stressed. A tiny patch placed in your dog's paw changes colour according to the sweat levels, which are a good indicator of stress. The more sweat, the more stressed the dog is.
And should you discover that your dog is indeed stressed, what should you do? Well, Prozac has recently been approved for use with the dogs in the US and is being marketed in a chewable beef-flavoured tablet. Apparently the drug will be of use to dogs who suffer separation anxiety and will be complemented with training. Whether this is a step forward in dog treatment remains to be seen.
And finally, they say there's no such thing as a free lunch, but apparently there is such a thing as a free poop scoop bag. On the island of Jersey, in the English Channel, free scoop bags are being handed out to pet owners in an effort to clean things up on the island.
And that just about cleans things up for the news this week. So goodbye.
Famous dogs. John Steinbeck immortalised his poodle in the book Travels with Charlie.
Onion, the miniature bull terrier, is a dog who loves the limelight. This is a dog whose star is on the rise, and she enjoys her celebrity. She's been painted, sculpted, and illustrated. Owner Sarah told me more about Onion's projects.
Well, what's she been in? What hasn't she been in? She was in a film, a Ewan McGregor movie, called Scenes of a Sexual Nature, which sounds much muckier than it actually was. Which in fact she got because my boyfriend Aaron is an actor and he was supposed to have a part in it, and then they said, would you bring your dog, and then he got cut out and the dog stayed in, so it should have been a problem, but luckily as it was her, he was fine about it.
Oh good. So she fell into it by accident then?
Yeah, basically. We didn't intend to have a film dog, and then after that she was in an aha video as well, a pop video. And then since then she's, well, I don't know, does all sorts of things. The other day she was the face of this art event called Lewisham Pettastic. So she was dressed in a space outfit and at the head of the parade.
Did she enjoy it?
She did enjoy it, I think. I mean, it's a lovely thing. It's an organised, we're not usually big fans of dressing dogs up, but it's a fancy dress picnic for dogs, and it's organised by this wonderful woman called Rachel House, who is an artist, and so she does all sorts of lovely things. She made flags with onion on and little badges, and the kids all had their faces painted as dogs, and there was a pin the tail on the onion game and all sorts of things. So it was a big fun event, and she got lots of attention, which she enjoyed. So, and there were lots of other happy dogs there too. So, picnicking away. When we did the Lewisham Pettastic, Onion was very lucky, and she was given a fee of £100, which is quite a lot for a dog.
Yeah.
And we decided that since she was such a pampered pooch, she probably wouldn't need the fee. So we donated it to Bullies in Need, which is a charity which obviously looks after bullies who end up in rescue. And they're fantastic. They're a bunch of people who, they will take bullies out of rescue if they're in rescue, and they'll find foster homes for them, and that way they find out lots about the dogs, and then they find them really good homes that suit their character. You know, if they're good with little children, or if they're they're no good with cats and they won't be put with cats or all those kind of things. And in fact, three of the bullies from Bullies in Need came to Lewisham Pettastic as well. One of them was dressed as Superman, so he was the superhero for the day. Yeah, really sweet. So.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. So, obviously, she hadn't had any special training before her first job because, it was by accident. Have you had to sort of train her to do anything specific for what she's had to do?
Well, we clicker trained her from the start, actually, because her breeder's also a trainer. And so as she was our first ever dog, she thought that she took us in hand, basically, and told us all about the clicker, and I got really into it. So since the puppy, we trained her doing little tricks and things. And then she got her Gold Good Citizen Award as well. Which is pretty good for a bull terrier, apparently. And I actually had a lovely week last year where I took her on a clicker training course, which was as much for me as for her, but it was really good fun. So we've done fun things, but we haven't sort of, tried to put her through a paces or anything. It's really just what happens than trying to make her into a film dog, really.
Clicking is amazing, though, because it just, you can let them think as well. I mean, I know you can train for, I want you to actually do this, but you can sort of step back, can't you? Say, okay, you think of something and I'll click if I like it.
It's really interesting. It's really interesting. And I think it's a good way of training for, I'm no expert on dogs because she's the first dog we've had, but they're quite stubborn bull terriers. And I think she likes the encouragement of it rather than being told, no, she can't do something. She's generally being told, yes, that's fine, or being guided rather than being sort of, told off and told what not to do. So it is really good fun. One of the things she used to do as a puppy, which we've now clicker trained her to do, is she rolls things with her nose. So she'll sort of, if somebody comes up to her in the park and it's just a little tot, rather than the little tot being too close to her, I tend to put the ball on the floor and get her to roll it to the child, and that's much more fun because it's sort of, you're keeping them all at a distance, which is quite nice.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. And now you mentioned her breeder, because her siblings have done quite well in a different field, haven't they?
They have. They've done quite well. It shows, actually. Her sister was best of breed at Crufts last year.
Crikey.
Which was a very proud moment for everyone, yes. That was Elsa, who's the beauty of the litter. Obviously, they're all beautiful, but Elsa really is quite a stunner. So that was really nice as well. Yeah. Onion went to Crufts when she was little, but she's got terrible teeth, so we don't have to worry about showing.
She won't make it to Hollywood then.
I don't think so. We're not planning on getting her a passport at this moment. Hopefully.
Now you have to have perfect teeth there, don't you?
Well, yes, exactly. I'm sure you could probably have the surgery if you went to Hollywood, but frankly, I think a dog's life is far too short for those things.
Oh, yes, yeah. Now, the other thing I notice is this onion light. Can you tell us what it is and sort of how did that come about?
Well, that was... There's an amazing guy in Soho who has a light shop called SKK, and he's been making lights for years, and he made this beautiful gorilla light, and we'd actually bought one because we just really loved them. And my boyfriend went into the shop in Soho and found out that they'd got chickens and they'd got rabbits and they'd got all sorts of things. And he said, "Why haven't you got a dog?" And they said, "Oh, we need to get round to having a dog, and we haven't done it yet." And so he sort of floated the idea of them doing one based on onion. And they said yes. So we were very lucky. A friend of ours, his aunt is a model maker. So we had lots of fun sessions in her studio. Well, Onion did lots of exploring, and she valiantly tried to sculpt her. So, and eventually there was this lovely little light that we've got, which we sell on the website as well. But so we've been selling it. There's one in Russia, and there's some in America and Canada, and we've been sending them all around the world. So,
oh, wow,
and little bull terriers, and they sell in Liberties as well.
Excellent.
Very smart. Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant to have an actual light of your dog. That's brilliant.
Pretty special. It wasn't, again, it wasn't something we expected, but it was just one of those funny things that came off.
Yeah.
So it's lovely. And I've got lots of goddaughters, and they all have the lights as their night lights, and they absolutely love them. So they won't go to bed without them now. So yeah.
And sort of what's next for Onion? Has she got any jobs lined up?
Oh goodness, she's the face of Peckham Petastic, which is the 23rd of June, which is another of these fancy dress picnics. So she gets another fabulous outfit made for her by Rachel, and she gets to parade around Peckham and be on posters and I don't know what else. But we haven't got any plans for her. She always seems to find the limelight if it's there.
So,
so goodness knows what she'll do.
Yes.
But she's only three, so.
Yes.
But she has got an agent, actually, funnily enough, because my boyfriend, being an actor, decided he'd get her an agent. But, you know, I can't imagine she's going to be in lots of films. But I think it was quite fun being on a film set.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's her, you know, obviously she enjoys it because you wouldn't take if she didn't, but sort of...
No.
What is her attitude to it?
Well, I think she just thinks it's a fun day out. I mean, the film set, there were lots of people, and everyone was happy to play with her and roll about in the grass with her, and we had a big bag of very nice treats, so that was good fun. So she just, and that was on Hampstead Heath as well, so it was just the best place, you know, for her. It was just, it's a lovely day out anyway. And the pop video was, again, lots of people paying her lots of attention, and you know, and she was the centre of attention when she was there. So I think, you know, as far as we can tell, she's very happy. She loves people. So as long as there's lots of new people for her to play with, I don't think she knows anything else really.
Yeah, excellent. And if people want to find out more about Onion, and you've mentioned the light and things like that, tell us your website.
Okay, it's www.oniondog.com. And that's got all sorts of things. There are links to her YouTube page so you can see videos of her, and you can join her on MySpace as well. She's got lots of dog friends on MySpace, and you can buy the lights, and then somebody also made a toy based on her as well, so that's there. And if there is any future in Onion's career, if you want to call it a career, then that will also be on the website. But it's basically just a fun site for people to come and visit.
Yeah, I love the picture of her with her head through the cat flap.
that's a daily occurrence. All the kids around here know that Onion will stick her head through the cat flap, so they all stand outside the gate shouting her name, and then she'll suddenly bolt her head through the cat flap, and they stand there chatting to us. There's quite a sort of little circus goes on outside, really.
Oh, that's public appearances by public demand, that is, isn't it?
I suppose, yes. But no, she seems to enjoy it, so it does cut down the junk mail as well, we've discovered. Because people are a little bit loath to put things through the letterbox, which is just below her head.
Yes.
So, yes, as you can imagine.
Okay. So, she sounds a lot of fun.
She is a lot of fun. I think everyone's dogs are a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We've been very, very lucky with her.
Well, I hope you continue to be lucky with her.
Thank you very much.
As Sarah said, you can check out Onion's website to keep up to date with her and see some very cute photos of her. If, like Onion, your dog has a claim to fame, do let us know.
Famous dogs. Sam, a blind Chinese crested hairless dog, won the unenviable title of World's Ugliest Dog three times in 2003 to 2005.
And now for our younger listeners, it's puppy playtime. Hi, and welcome to Puppy Playtime. Having heard about Onion, I thought I'd find out a bit more about famous film dogs. Probably the most well-known dog movie star is Lassie. The character, who was a beautiful rough collie, was originally in a novel in 1940, and the first film was made in 1943. Later, Lassie also made it to television, and the latest film came out in 2005. The first dog to play Lassie was called Pal, and although Lassie is a female, Pal and all the other dogs who have played her have been male. This is because the male collie's coat looks good all year round, while females shed heavily at least once a year. The first lassie only made it into show business by accident when he became the property of a trainer when his original owner couldn't pay his bills. Despite stumbling into show business unintentionally, Pal's offspring have continued his success, and Lassie is one of only three dogs to have a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The other two dogs to have stars on the Walk of Fame are Rin Tin Tin and Strongheart, both German Shepherds. Strongheart was one of the earliest dog film stars and appeared in silent films. He was initially trained to work as a police dog in Germany, but was discovered and taken to America, where he found fame and fortune. Rin Tin Tin did not have glamorous origins, being found in France during World War I by a US soldier who took the young dog home with him. Rin Tin Tin proved to be a very athletic and capable dog, and made several movies and even had a radio show. The offspring of both Lassie and Rin Tin Tin still perform today. More recent dog stars have been Golden Retriever Buddy from the Air Bud films and the Huskies, notably DJ from 8 Below and Snow Dogs. I have enjoyed watching many of the films these dogs have made and always think what fun it must be to have a dog who's a famous movie star, and then I remember all the hard work it must be too. Till next time, have fun with your dogs and make sure your dog has fun with you.
Famous dogs. A ship's dog called Judy was the only animal who was an official Japanese prisoner of war.
This episode's 5 Minute Fiction is a story inspired by our latest dog, retired guide dog Tom. Retirement, written and read by Julie Hill. The dog strolled down the short garden path to the lawn and lay down on the grass. He was old. Not so old he didn't still enjoy a good walk or relish a game of chase, but old enough to welcome the chance to lie down. Until recently, the dog had had a very busy life. He had worked for as long as he could remember. It hadn't been work to him, of course. It had been fun. It had been spending time with people. It had been being praised for doing well. It had been rarely being left behind alone. It had been striding out happily as part of a team of two, him and his man. It had been all he knew, and now it was gone. It was all different here. He shifted onto his side and lay his head flat on the ground. The sun shone down on him, and even the ground beneath him was warming up. It felt good. It eased any little aches and pains he had. It was odd, though, this new life that had been thrust upon him. Before, he had known what was expected of him, and that was always to be ready to help. The call would come, the harness would go on, and he knew what to do. He knew he had to lead his man where he was asked to. Not unthinkingly, of course. He had to be aware all the time of potential dangers, obstacles the man might fall over or off, things he might bump into, and of course to watch out for cars that might bump into him. He did not know why he had to do it, just that it was what his man needed him to do, and so he did it the only way he knew, with all his mind, all his heart, and all his soul. What was expected of him now? There were lots of activities to choose from, smells to explore that lured him around the garden, comfy beds to lie on, other dogs to play with, even people to get a fuss from. But which was it he was supposed to do? The people were odd too. He had initially been ready to lead them, but they didn't seem to want it. They were strange and seemed to know about things they could fall off or over, and when it came to crossing a road, they even wanted to tell him when it was safe to cross. Ridiculous and very confusing. A noise caused him to raise his head, but it was just a sheep in the field next door. They were strange too. He had barked at them at first, but they had proved to be boring creatures. He closed his eyes and wriggled slightly on the grass. Sleep came. When he woke, he wandered into the house. The other dogs wagged their tails, and the woman fussed him. He licked her hands and then made his way to the water bowl. When he ambled out to the garden, the other dogs came with him. They walked around together sniffing, and a small playful scuffle broke out between them as they vied for possession of a football. It was too hot for this, and he found a shady corner to lie down in. He chose to lie under the washing as it flapped on the line, drying quickly on this warm spring day. He would keep an eye on it, just in case. Just in case of what, he didn't know, but it was something to do. The small dog came and licked at his face, and through half-open eyes he could see the bigger one making energetic play bows at him. What should he do? He could lie and ignore them, or he could play. Or he could go back into the house and cool off. There might even be a cookie for him if he was lucky. It was difficult, this retirement business, he thought as he rolled into a more comfortable position. But he would get used to it. And that was Retirement, written and read by Julie Hill.
Famous dogs. Gidget is the Taco Bell Chihuahua and was also seen in the film Legally Blonde 2.
Now, I don't know if this is another hoax story, like the one about sheep being trimmed and sold as poodles in Japan, but apparently, in China, a cat has given birth to a dog. Maybe this is a scam, because a poodle is involved again. Apparently, one of the kittens in a litter of four resembles the breed, having a dog-like mouth, nose and paws. Well, true or not, neighbours are flocking to see the odd newcomer. And I have to say, some kind of cat-dog hybrid, unlikely as it is, could really be a great ambassador to spread peace between the two species. Dogs and cats can be great friends, of course. And recently, a dog who was already man's, or rather woman's, best friend, proved a good friend to two young cats. Cairn Terrier Cross Chi was on his usual walk when he showed interest in a bush. When his owner investigated, she discovered that two young kittens had been abandoned there. The kittens are now in a shelter waiting for a new home, all thanks to Chi. We already have dogs and gerbils, and we often joke that we just need a cat and we'd have a great act. However, we've been pipped to the post by Greg Pike. Greg is a street performer, and his act involves his mouse balancing on his cat, balancing on his dog. Another odd combination we heard of is the puppy and duckling in China, who have become best friends. The duckling was bought as a pet, and the family took in the pup when they found him as a stray, and the young pair are now inseparable. The strangest animals our dogs come into contact with are sheep, and on a recent walk, all three dogs came nose to nose with a huge ewe at a gate we passed. The ewe had a sniff at all of them, but was really taken with Star. For her part, Star was eager to make friends and was soon licking the sheep's face. Quite what they all made of one another, I'll never know. But I do suspect that the ewe thought our fleecy little Bichon Frise was on the wrong side of the fence and should have been in the field, frolicking with the other lambs. Till next time, look after yourselves and your dogs.
Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. By phone from the UK, you can contact us on 0121 288 0922. From the US, you can contact us on our American number, which is 315-849-2022. From any other country, you'll need your international exit code and then 44121-288-0922. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. And as ever, the final word goes to Jenny.
A sad basset hound was telling his troubles to his friend. I'm depressed. I think negative thoughts. I'm always bored and always tired. Why not go to see a psychiatrist? Suggested the friend. Well, I would, said the Basset Hound, except that I'm not allowed on the couch.